This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. State of North Carolina is paying tribute to one of the most influential African-American journalists of the 20th century. Robert Lee Vann grew up in Ahoskie, North Carolina, but later moved to Pennsylvania to get a law degree and serve as editor of the Pittsburgh Courier. In the 1930s and 40s, the Courier became the largest black newspaper in circulation in America, at one point having a readership of 250 million readers. I should say 250,000. So a quarter of a million readers. That's a lot of readers in the 1930s and the 40s. Also a highly influential paper. Joining us now to discuss the legacy of the newspaper and Robert Lee Vann and the history of the black press is Marvin Jones of the Chowan Discovery Group. Also with us is Cash Michaels. He's the editor of the Carolinian. Thank you both for being with us.
Good to be with you, Frank.
Marvin, let's talk a little bit about Robert Lee Vann. Now, he grew up in North Carolina. Tell us about where he grew up.
He was born outside of Ahoskie on a farm. His mother was a slave. His father was probably freeborn, but his mother was a cook, and she moved to Harrellsville, which is nearby. And a cook paid more for people who had slave backgrounds, and she lived with the Askew family. In fact, the house where she worked is still a show place in Harrellsville.
Yeah.
And he learned a lot from the people that owned the house and the prominent people of Harrellsville, small town. But he wanted to go to school. His mother later married a man who put him to work a lot, and he hated the drudgery that he was doing. But he finally got a job in the post office. The postmaster was a black Republican who was appointed to that position. And the job allowed him to save up money to go to Waters Training School in Winton, still in Hertford County.
And about what year is this? Give us an idea of what's happening.
And he's born in 1879, and this is in the 1890s when Waters Training School is about 10 years old, and Vann is in his late teens. He gets a late start in education.
But he manages eventually to go to law school. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, Waters was in Winton was an unusual community. It was dominated by free people of color who founded the school. They were multi-skilled. Their families were very old. Many of them had served in U.S. colored troops. And Vann had collapsed one day at the school walking from Harrellsville in the snow. And the leader of the school, Dr. Brown, got him a scholarship to finish without having to do so much work to stay in school.
Wait a minute! All he did was fall over, and he got a scholarship.
Well, he got a job. Hey, I would have done that already myself.
That's right. And now I have 3 degrees. That's pretty good.
And he was able to finish Waters Training School. I'm pretty sure Dr. Brown got him in, helped him get to Virginia Union, which was a Baptist college, just like Waters Training, where he had prep. And then the scholarship took him to Western Pennsylvania, which is now University of Pennsylvania. He finished there. He also was, after 2 years of working at a student newspaper, was elected editor, being the first editor of color of the paper. So that gave him journalism experience running that university's paper. He immediately went to law school, and he's working during all this time. And in 1911, after he gets his degree, is married, he sets out his shingle, a security guard who has a small newspaper, and a lot of small one-two-sheet black newspapers were getting started, and they failed, wanted a charter to bolster its integrity or whatever. And in order to pay Vann, he's offered a share in the Pittsburgh Courier. It's only about a year old. And he eventually takes control of the paper. For the first 10 years, it didn't pay him any income or much of an income, but it helps promote his legal and political career.
So he's got this paper going now. It was a small paper, going a little bit, still in the Pittsburgh area. Cash Michaels, let me ask you, in the grand scheme of things, what does the Pittsburgh Courier become? How influential does it become?
Well, as anyone who knows the black press, the whole history and spirit of the black press is to advocate, to give voice to a community that had been lacking such because of legal segregation. And so that's how the Pittsburgh Courier starts, and that's Robert Lee Vann's mission to indeed give voice to the community, to advocate for the community in those issues of civil rights and equal rights that up until that point it had little voice in. And the paper takes off. I was, and while I had heard of Robert Lee Vann, I didn't really get into his history until, you know, got the call from your program and was quite intrigued. He indeed is very strong about black business, about, economic development, certainly of equal rights, and that voice makes the Pittsburgh Courier turn on fire, so to speak, and become not just a strong local newspaper, but a Pittsburgh Courier, a strong local newspaper, but a strong national paper. Indeed, probably one of the most successful national black newspapers that we've ever known. He has to, in effect, print upwards of 12 to 14 editions in order to cover the nation. And that is something that at the time, you know, you had other papers like the Afro-American. You had, of course, the Chicago Defender. At the time, though, for the Pittsburgh Courier to achieve that, that was quite remarkable.
And, Marvin, give us a sense of his own mission here, because, as you said, he was doing quite well. He had plenty of security. He took this thing over, helped his business. How important was the question of civil rights to him as an individual?
Well, he was held back. There were when he bought his first home, there was resistance to the neighborhood he bought it in. He probably had trouble with the financing all along of the paper, and he saw how, and Pittsburgh didn't have a wealthy black community that was doing well, where people were able to build homes. But he came from one when he was at Walters, where people were building homes. People of color were building two-story homes and renting out rooms. The school was a, and Winton was a, was an economic engine for Winton, which had been suffering from its burning in the Civil War. So in a way, what happened in Winton, he was part of trying to replicate that in Pittsburgh, at least in his own life, if not the lives of others. There were a lot of African Americans who were still struggling in Pittsburgh.
How was the newspaper distributed in the South? How widely distributed was it in the South?
Well, it was the South and the East. Of course, the train lines. Through train lines. I know the Chicago Defender was distributed along the Illinois Central. So the trains running out of Pittsburgh towards Cleveland, the Midwest, towards Philadelphia, New York. A friend of mine whose father had a pharmacy in 1965 was selling the Courier in Jacksonville, Florida.
But it was a paper it was discouraged in the South, wasn't it? I guess it wasn't banned outright, but it was certainly something that was considered subversive.
All black papers were discouraged in the South, and people could get in trouble for distributing them in the South and printing them in the South. I mean, in Wilmington, where the Carolinian is published, the newspaper that black people had in 1868, that was one of the first things they destroyed during the Wilmington riots in 1898.
1898, right, the
Daily Record. Sure, and that of course led to the coup d'etat, or was part of all of that. Cash, how influential was it here in the South in particular?
Well, you know, this paper, the Pittsburgh Courier, Robert Lee Vann brought something to it that, quite frankly, many other black publishers brought to their papers as well, but rarely did they reach the national status. That made him a powerful man. Robert Lee Vann was someone who dabbled a whole lot in politics. So and he when he got in his paper and when he told African Americans, when he as mentioned previously, he was a member of the Republican Party, but when he felt that the Republican Party simply wasn't doing what it should do, and quite frankly, when he felt that he was not being recognized by the Republican Party for what he brought to the table, he then got in his paper and he told black readers, you know, let's switch over to the Democratic Party for Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal. And indeed, a good deal of the black vote is credited to him for Roosevelt to bring him into office. Lee Vann, in turn, got an appointment as an assistant assistant attorney general under Roosevelt. So that's how influential he was with this paper. Not only did it have a national voice, but when he spoke, African Americans listened, and so did the white political power structure.
And that's a pretty important appointment, Marvin. Assistant attorney general in the 1930s in the Roosevelt administration.
Well, the position was a special assistant to the Attorney General. It was a bit of a figurehead, and he was frustrated with that, and he eventually quit. But a lot happened during that time. I mean, he's an appointee. He also had ceased his legal career. In fact, one of the highlights of his legal career was defending Marcus Garvey during the famous mail fraud trial, Garvey mail fraud trial in the early 20s. Around that time, he was an attorney. He took his wife on a cruise from New York to California. There's a photograph of him holding him and Bill Bojangles Robinson holding Shirley Temple. The Ethiopian-Italian War starts. He sends J.A. Rogers, a notable journalist, to Ethiopia to cover that war. The Berlin Olympics takes place in 36, and Van goes himself to cover the Berlin Olympics. And he's sitting about 200 feet behind Adolf Hitler, wow, doing Jesse Owens' triumph. And of course, in 1937, an audit is done, and that's where the 200, the quarter of a million circulation is reached.
So here's a guy who is very well known in his time. When and how did he get forgotten?
So many things surpassed. He died just on the eve of World War II. The paper was probably better known than he was. He was known in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania politics, and he was known only among black leaders and, of course, white leaders in Pennsylvania. But outside, he wasn't that well known. But his paper was.
What is the situation happening with the Pittsburgh Courier today?
The Courier is now 103 years old. There is a Robert L. Vann Journalism Award held annually in Pittsburgh. There are two schools named after him, one in Pittsburgh and one in a high school I live only 6 miles from when I was growing up. And there are two historical markers for Vann, one in Pittsburgh and one we just put up in Ahoskie in April for Vann.
And so the state of North Carolina has also recognized him. Cash, I know the importance of historical black press is getting a little more attention these days. There was the PBS series Soldiers Without Swords. Is there enough attention? I suppose that's not – I know what that answer is. But are we paying more attention now? And do you think we're finally bringing the black press, giving it the prominence that it deserves?
Well, to answer your last question first, no. And it'll be a while before we do, if ever. In fact, a couple of years ago, I actually wrote a script for a movie about a black newspaper because, if I'm not mistaken, I'll stand corrected. I don't think they've ever had a movie about the black press. I know about Soldiers with Swords. That's an old PBS series going back a number of years. But a theatrical film about it, I don't think we've ever done one. And I'm not sure if we ever will. But then again, we've had a black president, so who knows? But there is a ripe story there about what we in the black press have done and will do. There are a lot of folks, for instance, who would say, well, if you're a member of the press, by nature, you should not be involved in various causes and politics and et cetera, et cetera. But as Robert Lee Vann's history shows, he was very much involved with that. If you look at Lewis Austin in Durham with the Carolina Times, very much involved in politics. Robert Gervais Sr. with the Wilmington Journal, his brother Paul Gervais Sr. with the Carolinian newspaper. All of these newspaper publishers were very much involved in their community, very much involved in what was going on in terms of the politics of the time, not necessarily running for office, what have you, but certainly when they spoke, people in the community listened. What we're doing right now is, as a brand, as a culture, the National Newspaper Publishers Association, the 200-member African-American Newspaper Trade Association, we right now are heading up the Wilmington 10 Pardon of Innocence Project, where after 40 years, we are standing up as black newspapers across the nation, and we are saying now is the time to grant pardons of innocence to the 10 activists who literally 40 years ago were put on trial and were falsely convicted for crimes they did not do. So that is the nature and the culture of the black press, and I wish that we could do something beyond the PBS series to really educate America as to how important it has been in terms of our history and in terms of our struggle to survive.
Well, Marvin Jones, what do you think is the legacy of Van in all of this?
It shows how someone can come from small beginnings and achieve great things for himself and for so many others. How he can start a legacy in 1910 that continues in 2012.
The marker for Robert Lee Van now up. And where is that? Is it in Ahoskie or is it near?
It's in Ahoskie, same block where I graduated from high school.
Marvin Jones, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Marvin Jones is the director of the Chauhan Discovery Group. Cash Michaels, thank you for being on the program.
Always a pleasure, Frank.
Cash Michaels, editor of the Carolinian. That's the state of things for today. Next Tuesday, we're going to be in Greensboro, a live broadcast from Triad Stage. We're going to talk with people about unemployment and the role of job creation in repairing a down economy. What does it mean to create jobs in this economy? What kind of jobs and what kind of economic impact do they have on all of us as a group and as the individuals who get those jobs? Plus, we're going to have live music from Greensboro singer-songwriter William Howard. You are welcome to be part of our audience if you send us an email at rsvp@wunc.org. Join us next Tuesday in Greensboro at Triad Stage on the 17th. Happy to see you there. rsvp@wunc.org. Send us the email and we will put you on the list. Thanks for listening. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.